Good morning and welcome to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. Now each week our pastor, Wayne Reynolds, brings a short message from the Bible. Now so far this month we've been talking about objections or questions that some people have with the doctrine of eternal security of the believer. In other words, the idea that once the Lord saves you, then you can't lose that salvation. Now if you've missed any of these, then I would encourage you to log on to our website at independencebaptist.org and click on the audio section. From there, you'll be able to listen to all the prior broadcasts on this, as well as many other topics. But before we lose too much of our time this morning, let's go ahead and listen in as Pastor Reynolds continues answering people's questions about eternal security of the believer.
Is it possible that we will let the things of God slip away from us? Hebrews 2 verse 1 states, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to those things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." The answer? Well, of course, we can let the things of God slip away from us. We need to continue in the things which we have learned. But if we were all to lose our salvation every time we drifted into some erroneous thing, how serious that would be. Is there anyone who has never done a little bit of drifting? I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about drifting away from the things of God. If sin will separate me from Christ, well, how much sin? How can I ever be sure how much sin it's going to take? Is there a believer who has not sinned just today? Is it not a fact that every one of us sins in thought or word or deed every day we live? Is there ever a night you can kneel before God and say, "Lord, I thank you that I have not sinned in thought or word or deed today"? Well, I'm sure no honest believer can ever say that. But how far do we have to sin in order to break the link that binds us to Christ? You could never be sure that you are saved from one day to another. You would not leave any room for the restoring work of God if your salvation depended upon my personal faithfulness. You see, what about a scripture such as Revelation 2, verse number 10? The Bible said here, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and that ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." The question often asked about this passage is, how can you say that a man is saved for eternity when the Lord says you must be faithful unto the end? The answer is simple. A crown of life is not salvation. It is reward. I might lose all of those crowns and yet not lose my salvation. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 15, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." I just don't want to be saved that way. I want to win the crown of life. The Bible says in Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee the crown of life." The Bible does not say here that I must die a martyr's death, but I must be faithful to God, doing what He wants me to do until death comes. Hebrews 10, verse 37 through verse 39, asks a very interesting question. The Bible says, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them who believe to the saving of the soul." The question comes in verse number 39. "But we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but of them which believe to the saving of the soul." this passage is talking about real saved people. The passage says very clearly, we are not of them which draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. If a person has believed to the saving of the soul, there is no danger of him ever drawing back unto perdition. Another question is found in the book of Revelation 3 and verse 15 and verse 16. This verse states, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. In this passage, Jesus Christ is speaking to his local church. He is speaking to the church of Laodicea. This is not an individual who has once been saved and is no longer saved. It is not that at all. Jesus Christ is here speaking to a church. Did you ever see a church like this one at Laodicea? A church that was not hot? It was not cold? One where you could not tell whether it was for Christ or even against him. And then the Lord says to that church, because you are just lukewarm, you have a profession of Christ, but you're not hot, you're not cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I will not claim you as being one of my churches at all. Jesus is not saying to the saved individuals in the church that he will spew them out of his mouth. But Jesus Christ is saying that the church may no longer be a church recognized by him. He said to them, as a church of his, if you do not repent, I will spew thee out of my mouth. I will remove your candlestick. A candlestick, you know, is to give light. And when Christ leaves that local church is unable to give any light of holiness or righteousness, because Christ is no longer in that church. There may be some true believers in a church that Christ has left. Christ is not saying all true believers in that local church are lost just because the church, as such, has lost its witness for Christ. Sometimes there are verses of Scripture that people try to use to prove in their minds that eternal security has no merit whatsoever. 1 Peter 4 verse 18 is one of those passages. The Bible said here, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? My question is this, what has that got to do with eternal security? What is Peter actually saying? Read the verse just previous to verse 18. This is in 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. The Bible said here, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? I know saved people have faults. We all have faults. I know also that we will be judged and will be judged very solemnly and seriously about all of our sins, about all of our failures. There will be no need of the judgment at all if saved people were absolutely perfect. But if God deals with his own people in this way, and if the righteous be scarcely saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? 1 Peter 4:18 has nothing to say about the question of whether a person is saved for eternity or not. The Bible is very clearly stating that the judgment must first begin at the house of God. And if the judgment begins with believers, the ungodly and the sinner will also be judged of God. If the judgment of the saved will be very difficult, the judgment of the lost will be a most terrible and the most horrible judgment of all. One other question is often found in the book of John 15, verses 1 through verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, is taken away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This passage, however, John 15, verse 1 through 6, is not discussing the question of eternal life. This passage is speaking about bearing fruit. There are many believers who bear very little fruit for God, but all true believers bear some fruit for Him. There are many people in the vine, and the vine speaks a profession here upon this earth, who bear no fruit for him, and who will eventually be cut out altogether when Jesus Christ comes. There will be no place with him, because they have no union with him. There are no natural branches in this living vine. We are grafted in by faith. I do not know much about grafting at all, but I do know that it is one thing to put a graft in, but it is quite another for the graft to be successful. It is one thing for a person to be outwardly linked with him, and quite another for that person to have life in Christ. What is the test that proves whether he really is in the vine? The proof is that the branch bears fruit. All who have life bear some fruit for God. If there is no fruit, you can be sure there is no life. There is no real union with Christ. Another question. Will any saved person who passes away with unconfessed sins have an opportunity to make things right after his death? It is really questionable to me if any saved person ever died who did not have some kind of unconfessed sins to his record. While sin may be confessed in a general way, who of us has ever confessed all of his sins? But the precious blood of Christ answers for every sin a believer has ever committed. At the judgment seat of Christ, the Lord will go over the entire life since regeneration, giving his mind about everything, and the believer will then, for the first time, see each detail in the light of God's infinite holiness. Everything will be dealt with, so that a believer's failures will never be referred to again for all eternity. For this, I am very thankful. At the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be judged for our works. And once that is finished, there is nothing else that we're ever going to be held accountable for. I'm thankful that I'm saved by the power of Almighty God. It is by His power, by His strength, not by anything that I have ever done.
I do want to thank you, Brother Wayne, for all of these messages on eternal security and for tackling some of the tough questions that people bring up about losing their salvation. And now, I said it back the first week of January, and I'm going to say it again now, knowing that the Lord died for me when I didn't deserve it, and knowing that he has promised to keep me forever, just makes me want to serve him even more. It increases my desire to serve him. Now, before our time is up, we do want to remind you of two things. First, it's the radio broadcast that you can download from our website, which is independencebaptist.org. And the second thing is our yearly Bible Institute, which will be held February 17th, 18th, and 19th. We'll have two guest speakers each night starting at 7 p.m. In addition to the night services, we're also going to have two speakers on Thursday and Friday morning starting at 10 a.m. And if you're able to come, you'll be able to find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestell, Missouri. Now, thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message from God's Holy Word.